Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Founded in 1925.
It's fascinating. The Travelers, you know, creates the radio station, and they did it really early, 1925. That was the very early days of radio.
WTIC is news.
This is Bob Steele speaking to you from the front yard of Victory House.
Here at the state capitol, Connecticut is paying its official tribute to the memory of the late President John F. Kennedy.
WTIC Radio presents A Visit with Governor of the State, Chester Bowles, at home.
Most of what we hear about the energy crisis talks about a shortage of heating oil for the winter or added fuel for summer driving.
Ever since September 11th, it was just a matter of time before they actually sent us overseas.
Connecticut, we're all in this together.
Entertainment.
We hear from Montavani in the orchestra. Moon River.
We'll be playing two songs back to back.
That's one of the 8 million selling records that Artie Shaw and his orchestra recorded. It's called Back Bay Shuffle.
Morgan, this is Tony Orlando.
Opinion.
This is Rush Limbaugh on Connecticut's great radio station, WTIC 1080.
Ladies and gentlemen, your calls work. This is your legislators responding to a common sense approach.
Thank you, WTIC.
Sports.
Outboard races on the Connecticut River at Hartford.
And the Whalers jump 25 feet in the air with that emotional goal.
Connecticut is the basketball capital of the country for 2004.
Personality.
These look like peanut butter cookies.
They are.
Okay.
Our journey to celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC.
On Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Welcome, everyone, to the broadcaster at 100. I'm Morgan Cunningham, leading in the celebration for WTIC's 100 years on the air coming up February 10th, 2025. We're leading up to that big moment with a series of talk shows to celebrate our legacy in Connecticut. Angela Dias, what I say her name, you probably think, WTIC 1080 News. A few months ago, you may remember, Bryant Thomas joined me on the show to remember WTIC Morning News from the late 1970s up until the early to mid-1990s. Both he and Angela worked closely together, even co-anchored at one point in time. Angela's time at WTIC lasting from 1985 until August of 2020. Angela being one of the more identifiable females in WTIC's history in an industry largely dominated by men, up until more recently at least. She's going to be sharing with us her perspective on Connecticut's largest stories from her run as a news reporter turned news anchor. Angela's story takes us to Rhode Island. Yes, she was young when she came to 1080, but had some years under her belt while she was to the east of us.
I'd bopped around done a few other things. I'd worked at a few other radio stations in Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
Because you're from Rhode Island, right?
Right.
So how did you find out about WTIC?
A very good friend of mine, Nancy Janis, who I'd known for a long time, and we're still friends, was working at WFSB as an account executive. And I was working in radio in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, and, you know, I learned a lot. Those were the days when you could still learn on the job. So I took these overnight jobs, say, in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. I would read the news during the breaks of the Larry King show. And I just worked my way up from there until I got to WEAN, rest in peace, in Providence, Rhode Island. An all-new station. So I got a lot of experience both being on the air and reporting. But that station was about to go to call letter heaven. So I talked to my friend Nancy. She says, well, why don't you work at WTIC? It's this big station in Hartford. And she was living in the area in Connecticut at the time. And so she put me in touch with who to contact. And I did. I, you know, set my resume, my tape, had an interview with the late, great Walt Dibble, and the rest is history. I was hired.
You were hired as the Capitol reporter?
I was hired as a street reporter. So I did everything. I did work at the Capitol, but I also, you know, covered city council meetings. I was a street reporter. Whatever was happening, whatever was breaking, I covered.
I have a recording of you. A brief recording of you anchoring an afternoon newscast. Now, most people would remember you for anchoring in the morning, but I guess in those earliest years, you were going kind of everywhere around the station. Is that right?
Exactly. I've forgotten that. But yeah, I did work afternoons for a time. I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was split. I was on the air for a few hours and I was reporting for a few hours, you know, during an 8-hour shift. Maybe it was half and half. I don't remember. But yeah, I'd forgotten that. Yeah.
Next news at 4 o'clock with Angela Dias. Dave Fallon, WTIC 1080 News. Back to Bruce Stevens.
I love these people that have, you know, we're talking about the dome.
What was the newsroom like? You know, we still have a local newsroom now. I know it's probably a little bit smaller today than it was in 1985 and in the late 80s. But what was the general feeling here in 1985?
Well, for one thing, people smoked. It smoked.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't smoke, but a number of my colleagues smoked. I mean, constantly.
On the 19th floor of the Gold Building?
Yeah. I mean, that did end a few years after I arrived. But when I arrived, people were smoking in buildings. And in the newsroom, there were several smokers. So it wasn't unusual to see like this haze of smoke around the newsroom. But there were, you know, we covered everything. Just about that was happening in Connecticut, mainly, you know, greater Hartford area. But this was the station to turn to for anything that was happening in Connecticut. We had a big staff of reporters and on-air people or people doing both. And when I first arrived, there were no computers.
You're reading my mind. I was about to ask about technology, AP, teletype, the wire.
Yeah.
You had pen and paper. How did it work technologically?
Well, for one thing, there was always noise. I mean, you always heard the AP and UPI machines always, you know, clickety-click, clickety-clickety, clickety-click all the time. Phones ringing. It was a lot louder, not like shatteringly loud. And there were more people, so that added to the volume as well. It was louder than now. Of course, you're on computer and everything is quiet. And the phones, I remember, you know, the phones don't even ring as much because people are communicating through email or text or whatever. You know, that was the thing that struck me when we moved to computers, how quiet everything became. When you're in that situation where technology is still evolving and you're not using it yet, that was just the norm. I mean, you would use your grease pencil. And
you told me you didn't like editing on
I
tape.
I hated it. I did a terrible job of editing with physically editing tape with, you know, a razor blade and putting the two pieces together and
the splice.
So if you could always tell one of my edits most of the time, because it was like, and then she shed. I was terrible.
The hiccup.
Yeah, the hiccup. You know, but again, you just did it because there was no other way.
And then the turn of the century came and there was another way that had just been basically invented.
Yeah. And that happened again, too, not long after I arrived. In fact, probably later. Was it 1985? Maybe still 85, but later in the year, in the midst of a hurricane, our computers arrived in the newsroom. And we were being trained on how to use these computers and the software, as well as get the news out on a hurricane that was hitting Connecticut. It was...
That's no fun.
No. It was wild. All hands on deck, and I can't believe we pulled it off, but we did.
Before we go into the break, as everyone knows, I always have lots of audio to play on these anniversary specials. This is Bryant Thomas anchoring on October 1st, 1986, with a report from reporter Angela Dias.
WTIC News Time, 8:07, 7 past the hour. A number of new laws take effect today in Connecticut. WTIC's Angela Dias runs them down.
Starting today, some employers will be able to hire 15-year-olds under certain conditions. The new law is aimed at easing the state's labor shortage. However, restaurants and fast food places will still be restricted to hiring people 16 years and older. Another new law prohibits employers from conducting random drug tests among employees. The statute requires an employer to have a reason to believe a worker is under the influence of drugs before ordering a urine test. And starting today, you'll have to turn on your headlights if you're driving in bad weather. Angela Dias, WTIC. 1080 News.
And here we are in 2024, celebrating 100 years of WTIC, those 1986 laws still having an impact. I'm Morgan Cunningham with the broadcaster at 100 and our former morning news anchor, Angela Dias. More from her in a moment.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, I'm former WTIC news anchor and reporter Chris Francis, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. And we're celebrating the broadcaster at 100.
I want to shift gears a little bit and bring up the name Bob Steele. Eventually, this is a guy you would get to know very well and work with a lot. What are your memories of Bob?
Bob was a perfectionist. He was a stickler for, of course, pronunciation, and he hated it when things went wrong technically. He would become very vocal about things that, you know, broke down or weren't working the way they were supposed to. He was unfailingly polite to me. He never yelled at me, even though sometimes I did screw up here and there with the pronunciation. But he very gently corrected me, unlike with the guys who were...
Not as gentle?
Not as gentle. So, yeah, he was a perfectionist, and he cared deeply about getting things right.
There was the word Coventry versus Coventry you had told me
yes,
about once.
Yes, that was it. I was trying to remember that because I come from Rhode Island, and there's a, well, it's pronounced Coventry in Rhode Island, and I come here to Connecticut, and it's Coventry. And he corrected me, and he goes, Angela, it's Coventry. Not Coventry. So he was just very gentle with me. I don't know that he was used to working with women on a regular basis. I mean, there have been women who had worked at WTIC almost from the beginning.
Sure.
And very specialized roles, you know, a lot of feature stuff. But there have been women who worked at WTIC. Dana was one of the first, probably. And then I came along, and there were a few people two in the newsroom who were working on a regular basis doing news. And that was, you know, probably, I guess, the 70s or early 80s.
More women getting into the business.
Right. And working at WTIC. And I know that Dana would work morning drive sometimes, but I'm not sure about this. I could be wrong. I'm sure someone will correct me. But I think I was the first woman to work full time as the morning news anchor at WTIC, I think. And that, I think, was a little, that was different for Bob. So he just treated me very gently as a result, which I'm actually kind of grateful for.
You're grateful, I'm sure.
Yes. Because he could be very vocal when things didn't go right.
How did morning anchoring change once you became morning anchor? How did it evolve over the years? Was there any change at any point? Bryant had mentioned to me, Bryant Thomas, that he co-anchored with you for a brief period of time. But, you know, other than that, has the makeup of the morning news anchoring role basically been the same format-wise?
I think so. I mean, basically, you have various sources of news. You edit it. You put it together, you deliver it on the air, you're doing interviews on the phone a lot sometimes if something is breaking when you're on the air. So that really hasn't changed. I mean, isn't that what you do?
Pretty much still, yeah.
Exactly.
There are some things that do stay the same.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Were you here for the change between NBC Network and CBS Network?
I was, yeah. I've seen them all. No, not all. But I was there for that particular change and other changes as well.
Could you clarify this for me? In the 90s, I believe it was the mid-90s, you were anchoring on CBS Radio Network for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
What happened with that?
Yeah, as you mentioned, we were a CBS affiliate. One of the CBS radio executives was driving through Connecticut, and he heard me, and he liked my sound, and he brought me on board to work. I didn't work there a lot. I only worked Saturday mornings, morning drive at CBS Radio. But that was...
Were you here in Connecticut doing it, or were you down in New York?
I drove to New York. I would leave my house around midnight because the shift started at 3 a.m. And so it didn't take me a full 3 hours at that time of night to...
You never know getting to New York.
Exactly. So I would leave within plenty of time, and I would get there at 3 a.m. and do the... So I would work from 3 to 10 on Sunday mornings at CBS Radio. Talk about doing things differently. I mean, there...
So it was different from what you were doing here?
Yeah, because there was an editor. Everything you wrote had to be checked by an editor. The editor decided what stories you were going to air. The editor checked your copy. The editor got your sound. So you worked very closely with an editor. Whereas here, you choose the stories you're going to air and in what order. You choose the sound. You rewrite it or write it, and there's no one checking it. So it better be right. It was a very different experience. But then you're getting... You know, you're getting correspondence from all over the world, filing reports, and it was wild. There was a phone list that came out of all the CBS radio employees. I think it was just radio. And Dan Rather was on the list. I think he did like a feature or something for CBS radio. So Dan Rather's on the list, and across the column is my name. Like, oh my, I still have that. I still have the phone list.
One probably would have expected you to go down there full time, and maybe WTIC history would have been changed, but you stayed with us.
Honestly, I don't think it was quite the right fit for me at the time for a number of reasons, but it was a great experience while I was there. It was so unique, and every once in a while I'd hear people I knew who lived in various parts of the country, and they'd say, I heard you on the radio, and I'm living in, you know, Nebraska or whatever. Was that you? Yep, that was me. Although I have to say, too, you know, remember there was a wine reporter on WCBS?
Anthony Dias Blue.
But everybody just assumed that I was related to this guy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're in radio. Do you know Anthony Dias Blue? No.
So you didn't know him?
I didn't know him. No. And I know he did know me.
And he was on, what was it, WCBS?
WCBS.
And let's quickly pause the broadcaster at 100 for this rest in peace WCBS moment.
Dining out? Hear Anthony Dias Blue's restaurant reviews on
WCBS New York.
What a small world.
I know.
That name would be repeated.
I know. It's not that common, especially in radio.
Yeah, I know, especially in radio.
Yeah.
And in New England. So that's probably why people made that connection.
Yeah. So
I forgot about that. I'm glad you mentioned.
Yeah.
Let's go back to WTIC talk. And I want to talk about some stories that you were part of or that you witnessed, and obviously there are many of them, so I'll just try to cherry pick the highlights here. One that comes to my mind was Governor Weicker and the state income tax. Major deal, and you were there for the whole part of that.
I was on the street covering it. I covered the vote in the House. That story had a lot of parts to it. I would cover meetings, behind closed door meetings with the governor and legislative leaders. And then we'd all be huddled around, you know, when somebody came out. I do remember being inside at the Capitol for a lot of the meetings and votes.
What was the feeling at the time?
I mean, everybody knew. Reporters covering it, legislators voting on it. It was historic. At least for me personally, I thought, oh, is this really happening? Oh, it happened. Yeah. It took me like a half second to process this. Oh, it passed. Oh, I better go do something. You know, obviously, with that big of an issue, everybody has something they want or whatever. So there were endless meetings and, you know, it was like,
And there was controversy because he had campaigned that he wasn't in favor of it,
yes.
But that changed
yes.
Once he took office.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was a slam dunk. So there was still an element of surprise. And
not to mention him becoming governor, that was unlikely itself after he was U.S. Senator and that came to an end in 1988.
Yeah.
And here he is in 1991, winning the election. 1992, I believe, is when he took office. And so that was just an unusual period of time in Connecticut history.
WTIC had a public service feature, a regular feature called Ask the Governor. For a number of years, I hosted it. It wasn't part of like a morning show. It was something that was recorded and then aired. And I did interview Governor Weicker a few times, and he did use an expletive, which I'm sure will surprise no one. I don't think he was displeased with the question necessarily, or maybe he was, I don't know. But for whatever reason, he was displeased with something, and he used an expletive, as you do when you're Lowell Weicker.
No, so that was a common thing?
Yeah, he was very vocal, yeah. He was blunt, very blunt, yes. And that came out in a lot of the interviews that he did with anybody.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's the broadcaster at 100 as we march toward 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080, February 10th, 2025, the actual date of our anniversary. Angela Dias, our former morning news anchor, is with us, recalling her 35 years spent at WTIC. There's more on the way.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is former morning personality Ray Dunaway, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, celebrating the broadcaster at 100. Happy birthday, WTIC, and I'm proud to have been part of it.
Let's recreate one of Angela Dias's mornings, shall we? It's the broadcaster at 100, celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080. So we just heard from Ray. Now, what Ray used to do was introduce the morning news anchor. That was Angela for many years, and it sounded something like this.
This is Connecticut's source for local news.
Local news.
With news at the top and bottom of every hour. WTIC News Talk 1080.
An Infinity Broadcasting Station.
WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC Hartford.
All right, thank you all for listening. Jim Vicevich next with Connecticut Today. It is 10 o'clock and time for the latest news. And here with that is Angela Dias.
Violence at Weaver High School in Hartford sends three students to the hospital this morning. WTIC's Chris Francis is at the high school and has a live report. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Angela. It started just before the opening bell. A fight broke out in a first floor hallway. Three students were stabbed. Principal Paul Stringer.
The stab wounds are non-life-threatening. All students have been sent to the hospital, and parents have been notified. That's all we know at this point.
Now, there's no official confirmation of anyone being arrested. The school went into lockdown, but that's now been lifted. Live at Weaver High School in Hartford, Chris Francis, WTIC 1080 News.
Custodians at O'Connell Elementary School in East Hartford spent the weekend thoroughly cleaning surfaces of the building after an outbreak of a likely intestinal virus forced the school to shut down Friday. The school is reopened today. As it turns out, all East Hartford schools were closed Friday because of a winter storm. Last week, some 40 students and 15 staff members became ill.
For those of you wondering, that was an excerpt of one of Angela's newscasts from February 2004. Here we are 20 years later, exactly. We're still talking about violence at schools, and also public health concerns, not just at schools, but in general. COVID-19, ring a bell? Maybe some things just don't change. Continuing our conversation on the broadcaster at 100 with former morning news anchor Angela Dias, who for 35 years as a reporter anchor at WTIC had a front row seat to many stories in Connecticut and nationally that had significant impact. Angela, when you retired, I asked which stories you thought stood out the most in your career. One was the state income tax in Connecticut. The other was 9/11. How did that day unfold?
In a very surreal fashion, as I think it did for everybody. It's hard to describe because there was so much uncertainty. And because of that uncertainty, I think the thoughts, the feelings of a lot of people who worked that day anywhere was, am I going to make it home tonight? What's going to happen to me, to my family? Is this place where I'm now in, is it safe? It was incredibly frightening, really. But you still had a job to do. We did use a lot of, you know, CBS Radio had this vast network. People, they were right there. So we used a lot of CBS Radio feeds. We knew there were Connecticut people. We covered that part of it to some extent, talking to families, all that stuff that everybody did. But those hours on the morning of 9/11 were surreal and frightening.
And the days after that, too, I have a recording of you 2 days after 9/11 when Bradley was reopening. and they were starting flights again. They were resuming.
Now, WTIC 1080 News has talked to Bradley Tower. They tell us that, yes, Bradley is open, but it will be days before any flights actually get out of Bradley because there are no flights that have come in from other parts of the country. So the best advice still is call your airline ahead of time before getting to the airport, because chances are if you go to Bradley today thinking you're going to get on a flight today, you're probably not going to.
That audio from Angela's 8:30 morning news on September 13th, 2001. 9/11 was a story, Angela, that continued to develop not for days or months, but years.
Yeah. It was an intense time, for sure. It sparked anxiety because there was so much that was unknown.
Then shortly after the 9/11 attacks, an elderly lady in Oxford, Connecticut, died amid the anthrax scare that followed.
If this innocent woman could be a target, couldn't anybody? So, it was frightening. But, obviously you have to do your job. You have to present the facts. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, am I safe?
Another story that you had mentioned to me that had a lot of impact on your career and your time at WTIC, the Hartford Distributors shooting in Manchester, Connecticut, a mass workplace shooting. The shooter was an employee who was being fired.
There are times when something like 9/11 happens, and I said you feel fear. You're doing your job, but you're afraid for the safety, your own safety, your family. Then there are other times in a story like that, the shooting in Manchester, where it is very intense, but it's a specific incident, right? So there's not a larger threat, at least not on that particular story, not that particular shooting. The gunman was found and.
Correct. It was limited to that location.
It was limited to that location. So then at that point, you just put your head down and you just keep working. I mean, Aaron is one of the best street reporters I have ever seen. Working with him, things went smoothly as far as getting things on the air. Everybody knew what they had to do, and they were doing it very well.
I have an excerpt from the coverage that morning. This was from the 11 o'clock news on August 3rd, 2010.
An employee at a Manchester beer and wine distributorship opens fire, leaving several people dead and injured. WTIC's Aaron Kupek has a live report from the scene. Aaron?
Angela, police have confirmed that the alleged shooter is among the dead at Hartford Distributors here in Manchester. Around 7:30 this morning, police got a brief call reporting a shooting and a victim down. There are multiple fatalities, though police at this point are not giving a hard number. This is Manchester Police Lieutenant Joe San Antonio.
There are victims, there are multiple victims, and that's really all we have to say right now. It's an ongoing, active investigation, but the scene is neutralized and secured.
As for the shooter, police won't say whether he turned the gun on himself, but they do say he was not killed by police. Authorities also confirm a small fire at Hartford Distributors at some point during the ordeal. Live in Manchester, Aaron Kupek, WTIC 1080 News.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and you're listening to the Broadcaster at 100 with former morning news anchor Angela Dias, whose career lasted 35 years at WTIC. She retired in 2020. You can do the math. Now, I know that we've been talking about some high-impact negative stories, sad stories in this past segment, but on the way, what's the bigger picture here about Angela's time at WTIC? And, of course, some more archived audio.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is Robert H. Steele, one of the sons of WTIC's Bob Steele, and you're listening to Morgan Cunningham. Wishing WTIC a very happy anniversary.
What about COVID-19? That was the year that you retired, and that was a major story that just kept on going. In fact, I remember finally the story that basically broke that lead was Peter Manfredonia and his machete attack in Willington. But other than that, it was basically COVID was the lead story every single time until there was that localized threat that spanned a few days. And so what do you remember in your final few months at WTIC covering COVID-19 and what that situation looked like?
again, a very surreal experience. I mean, I forget that date in March. You know, everybody was told, okay, you got to leave. And everybody left. And before things were set up so that people could work from home, at least doing newscasts from home, for some reason I was here. I mean, most everybody else was working from home. For some reason, I wasn't set up to do it at home. I don't know why. For whatever reason, I wasn't working from home, and I was here by myself. It was very strange. Again, we had people like Aaron worked from home, so he was able to file reports, and I would take them in, and we would, you know, we always worked together very well. But I would walk down to the cafeteria and look into the offices. Of
course,
there wasn't a soul. And it was like people had just, their coats were there, their sweaters were there, the plants were there. It was like, oh, I just went out. I'm on vacation. I'll be back and everything will still be here. Of course, it took many, many months before everybody came back.
By the time you retired, it still hadn't happened.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. People were working from home. That became more of a common thing. We could file reports. We could, you know, Aaron broadcast from his house. We didn't miss a beat.
Did that major news story, COVID-19, which just went on day after day after day, did that weigh on your mind to retire at all? Or were you already thinking about that?
I was thinking about it. And that really was one of the factors. I mean, not the only factor, honestly, because it was a big story. But I mean, I don't think that it weighed on me. You know what weighed on me more was getting up in the so early in the morning and driving in really terrible weather. Now, the station always offers employees a hotel room whenever there's bad weather coming. But, you know, sometimes a storm comes in and it's worse than what was predicted, or, you know, it doesn't happen as the way it was forecast. Surprise, shocking, I know. So I would end up still even driving in terrible weather, and it was scary sometimes. The only good thing was I was the only one on the road most of the time.
That's also true, right?
Especially Route 2.
But that's a concern as well.
Yeah, that's true. It wasn't plowed as early as other, like 84 was mostly, I mean, not mostly, but very often 84 would at least be down to flat, you know, if not like road surface, you could drive on it. Whereas I'd just come from Route 2 where there'd be like 7 inches of snow that I had to make my way through.
You're crawling.
Yeah. So that was scary. It was those two things really that weighed on me. Getting up, because it does take a toll on your body. I didn't really realize that, how much of a toll, until I didn't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, oh, I'm not in a fog all the time. I don't know how you do it, Morgan, because you look.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
Although I will admit some afternoons I need to crash for an hour or two.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I have to some afternoons.
It was those two things. It was driving in terrible weather and the hours.
I've been asking about a lot of bad or negative stories. Hey, that's news.
That's right.
But are there happy stories or feature stories or other unusual stories that come to your mind?
Yeah, of course, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say, oh, I should have mentioned this. But overseas soldiers' homecomings, those were always very, again, it's emotional, but, and you still do it. But it was, you know, it was good. It was good to see that kind of joy and being able to report on that kind of joy. That's the thing that comes to me top of mind. But of course, I'm sure there'll be other stories that I probably have forgotten, but that were just as joyous.
I know you had your fans at WTIC during your run here. You had told me about fan mail that you received at one point in time. So if you were writing a history book about yourself and your contributions to WTIC, how would you want your efforts to be remembered, and how do you want your era of WTIC, not necessarily just you and yourself, but your era as a whole to be remembered in our station's chapter, the third that you were here?
That's a very good question. And I would say that I think for that era in general, I would want people to remember that WTIC was a station that you could rely on, that you could depend on for delivering the facts of a story without any bias. And I would hope that people were to remember me as a presence, as a dependable presence, who presented the facts in an unbiased fashion as well.
Is there any message that you'd like to put in our little time capsule here for the future of WTIC, or thoughts on will local news still be important 20 years from now?
Well, that part is easy. Local news, news in general, is always important. And it is so important that people have news sources from disinterested parties. Unfortunately, that's not happening now. Everybody has a bias. Everybody has a bias in news these days. And what we need, as I said, are disinterested parties who are able to present the facts, no matter if people don't like those facts or they believe that they aren't true because I don't know why. I mean, we're not going to put anything on the air that doesn't have any evidence backing it up. So if you're not going to believe what we're trying to communicate, I don't know what's going to happen. Because we are disinterested parties. You're supposed to be disinterested. Whatever happens, you're there as an eyewitness and you are reporting back to people. It's that simple. There's no agenda. It's what you see. It's what other people are telling you, and what other people are telling you, you have to back up. It's that simple. And if you can't trust people to be disinterested enough to present facts and evidence to back up those facts, then I don't know what's going to happen.
If you could do it all over again, would you, or would you choose something else? Or would you go somewhere else?
I wouldn't go anywhere else in Connecticut.
You wouldn't? You would stay here?
And radio, this was the place to be. As I said, everybody listened, and they depended on us to tell them what was happening. If you called someone to interview them and said you were from WTIC, oh, yeah, I'll talk to them most of the time. Not all the time. But, oh, yeah, if I was still in radio, WTIC was the place to work, and I am proud to have been part of that legacy. Very. Would I choose a different profession? I don't know. What would I do, Morgan? I don't know what I would do. I
mean, you like acting?
Yeah. But I do have to make a living. You know?
True.
No, I was very proud to work here. And I made a lot of good friends, some of whom I am still friends with. I had great working relationships with a lot of people. I had great relationships with the management. I had a very good run here, I'm pleased to say.
Angela, it's been a pleasure having you on the Broadcaster at 100 to cement your story as our 100 years of broadcasting comes up on February 10th, 2025. I'm going to leave with this. A report that you did on a high-ranking politician who, after many years of covering him, would celebrate your retirement.
Connecticut's political landscape is about to change dramatically with today's announcement that Senator Chris Dodd will not seek re-election to a sixth term. Dodd, chairman of the Senate Banking Committee and a point man on health care legislation, has been struggling in the polls, running behind former Republican Congressman Rob Simmons. But there's another development today that increases the chances the seat will stay in Democrat hands. State Attorney General Richard Blumenthal, well-known and popular in Connecticut, will announce his candidacy for Dodd's Senate seat later today.
Good morning. For maybe the last time in this setting, but I really hope you continue to be active. You know, I just want to say a quick thank you from my heart. I couldn't even begin to count the number of early mornings that I'm on the road really early, listening to you, giving me a sense of what the day will bring, and you're just a constant there in an uncertain world and a big heart at a time when people wonder about whether or not the world cares. So thanks for many, many mornings, and I'm so proud to be on with you this morning just to say a great big thank you.
Well, thank you for taking the time to do that, Senator. I appreciate it.
Connecticut U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal calling Angela Dias, our former morning news anchor, on the day of her retirement to congratulate her. The exact date and time, 6:50 in the morning on Angela's last day, August 29th, 2020. I agree with the Senator. A farewell to Angela and that chapter of WTIC's history and existence, but we continue forward. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and next month we'll have another edition of the Broadcaster at 100, marking 100 years of our service to Connecticut.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.